Open your Bible again to 2 Kings chapter 19. I want to primarily just look there in verse 30 of chapter 19. Remember, Hezekiah is king, and the Lord just delivered Judah from the hands of the Assyrians. The Lord told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah that they would not be a shot fired, and that they would not enter into that city, and they didn't. The Lord sent an angel at the night when they were asleep and killed 185,000 Assyrians. And why would he do that? Because he determined to save his people. And then when the king Sennacherib goes back to his false gods and he's there in his temple, worshiping his false gods, his sons come in and kill him. And God brings vengeance on that nation. But why would God do all that? Because in verse 30, and the remnant, there is a very small remnant that has escaped out of the house of Judah. Even in Judah, there is a root there to which our Lord would come. He's the root and offspring of David. It said, it shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. God describes his elect in the Word many times as a plant, like that is planted. For a plant to grow, it must take root. There it says it takes root downward and bears fruit upward. There can't be any fruit bearing upward until there's a root that gets its sap, that gets its life. Sandy's just got through planting the garden, and she likes to plant sunflowers. And those sunflowers, they will grow. She grew some a couple years ago. They was very tall, 10 or 12 feet tall. But the head of them, they turn toward the sun. They bear fruit upward. And the reason is, and I've seen some of them have stalks that big around, and that was rare for them to be that big, but it's because they had a firm root. And here he's describing his elect, that elect remnant, that they will take root downward, and all his people do. Without a root, a plant will just wither away, and there won't be any fruit. Listen, in Matthew chapter 13, our Lord was giving the parable of the seed falling upon the different grounds. There was some by the wayside and the thorny places, and in the stony places, and in the good ground. But he said in verse 5, some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth. What I understand, it was like a hard rock, and it was just a thin layer of dirt over the rock. And the seed had just enough to germinate and just a little bit of stem to take root, just a little root. And it began like they was life. And forthwith it sprang up because it had no deepness of earth. But what happened to it? But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Men can claim to be believers. They can claim to, it talks about people, they receive it into their emotions real quickly, you know, and they're moved by it. And you think, well, maybe there's some life there. Well, just wait. When the sun comes up, when the tribulation comes and the hard times come, you know what happens? It withers away because it had no root. It had no life. It was just an emotional experience will wear off. But these, verse 8 of Matthew 13, but other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Listen, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness. When you think about something being established, you think of something that has roots. Men go about to try to establish their own righteousness, and it will not stand because it has no foundation. It has no root of the matter. And a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Job knew something of this. I appreciate that message that Paul wrote a few weeks ago about from Job. Job was a man. He was one of God's plants that God had planted. And God sent a severe storm against him. He said in Job chapter 14, verse 7, and in that same chapter, he said, a man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said, there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. There's a place there below the house. I cleared it off. You know, and I just cut everything down. I didn't go and dig up all the roots, but you look there now, you would, and everything's just springing up. You know what's coming? It's coming from that root. That root's still alive. The tree might have been cut down, but you go, how's it alive? It's still getting sap. It's still getting moisture, and it'll grow. That's what he's saying here. He says through the scent of water, that root will go to where that water is, and it must get life. And where there's life, there's evidence of life. That's the fruit, because the root. Job said, chapter 19, verse 28, the root of the matter is found in me. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. And that is life. Life. God's remnant. They are described in God's word as a vineyard. And he's described as a vineyard all through scriptures. A vineyard is God's planting. It's God's tending. Some things about a vineyard. A vineyard is a spot of ground separated from the rest of the property. God's church is chosen and separated from the rest of the world, and it's his. It's his, and it's separated. You think about Israel. He raised her up there in Egypt, and he brought her, and he placed her in Canaan. And I think it's in one of the Isaiah chapter 7, and one of those, it talks about how they were his choice vine. He brought her up, he planted his vineyard, he put a hedge around the vineyard, he watched over the vineyard, he watered the vineyard, and he protected the vineyard. But instead of bringing forth grapes, she brought forth wild grapes, things her flesh produced. A vineyard is fenced and protected to keep the wild animals out. It's like we have, as I've already mentioned, a small garden there at the house. But if we didn't have a fence around it, you could forget having a garden. You can forget. You can have a short fence and you still not have a garden. It's about 8 feet tall, or the deers will jump over it. And they don't care. I've seen one standing there in the garden while Sandy was working in the garden. He didn't care. He said, you're not going to do nothing. But there has to be a fence around it. A vineyard has many plants, and they're all planted, and they're all pruned by the husbandman who watches over his vineyard. God commits to care of his vineyard to faithful pastors. But it's really God's hand who cares for his vineyard. It's his vineyard. It's his. And then a vineyard is a very valuable, fruitful place. God must plant his vineyard. Now, when he plants it on purpose. Now, let me give you several scriptures. Psalms chapter 80, verse 5. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted. You think of the time, the planning, that God planned on purpose before the world was made to plant a vineyard, to plant believers, to plant a church. I was going to share it with you later on, but most of you, if you have already looked into the bulletin, you'll see that Brother Walter Groover passed away. And Marvin Stoniker did a tribute to him, and it was a blessing. He said that he went there in the early 60s. That was been almost 60 years. He was there almost 60 years. And Marvin asked him back in the 90s, he said, what would make a man sell everything he had and take his whole family, five children, go to a place where you don't hardly know the language, and sell everything lock, stock, and barrel to go there? He said, when God calls you to go, you go. I remember one time him telling that while they were there, there was a bunch of rabid dogs, and about three of the five children got rabies. And they had to take shots and different things. And you know, they had a lot of trouble, things like that. Things happen. And he was really down one day, and he said he went out into the field and fell down on his face and began to pray and say, God, would you show me what you want me to do? Did you want me to bring my family here for us to end like this? And somebody got up and come back, and somebody said, well, what did God say? He said, he didn't say nothing. He said, what did you do? He said, I just stayed. What am I saying? Why did I say all that? God planted a place. He has a people there. And I was glad I got to go see those people, those churches that was God's vineyard. He planted it. He watered it. He nurtured it. I mean, we were in one village, in one church. It was a lot bigger building than this. The whole building was packed. The doors were open. The windows were open. And people were standing by the windows all the way around that building. How did that happen? That's God's vineyard. Something happened. Somebody planted it. Somebody watered it. Somebody watched over it and cared for it. And now those churches have pastors that God raised up from those people. And they even had a preacher school. That was his vineyard. He planted it, and it took root. And you know how you know it had root? There was fruit. It was life. Life. I mean, I think that's amazing. A man goes there and don't even hardly know the language. And then to see what the Lord did, that's how God works. Listen, Psalms 104, verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. You know what sap is? That's life. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Jeremiah 12:2. Thou hast planted them, and they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. That verse is just packed. Who planted them? You planted them. And when he planted them, and you can guarantee this, the trees that he plant, they do take root. You think about this, they're rooted in Christ. They've been in Christ from the foundation of the world. He's their life. Without Christ, you die and you'll wither away. There is no life. They've taken root. They grow. They grow. I was showing Danny a couple years ago there at the house, me and Sandy planted a couple of apple trees. And they've probably been there 3 or 4 years. And they're growing. And I showed Danny the other day, and this year they're covered up with apples. Now, I don't know if they'll make anything or not, but wasn't they, Danny? They covered up. But they were planted. I planted it where I wanted the tree to plant it. And I couldn't just plant that tree alone. That tree by itself wouldn't bear apples. That tree had to be pollinated by another tree. And I had to find out what tree that it would be that would pollinate that other tree. So I had to plant another tree beside of it. One tree couldn't live without the other. You can't live without Christ. And now you go out there, and it's just amazing. It's just not that big a tree. It's probably 7 or 8 foot tall. But every limb's just covered up with apples. You know why it's got apples? Because it's got life. And it was growing kind of crooked. And you know what I did? I went there and straightened it up. Because that's my apple tree. It's his tree. He plants it. It takes root. And it grows. I know that tree grows because it has life. It had leaves. But I'm not going to go out and eat a bunch of leaves. There's fruit. You know, I know it's an apple tree. It's got apples on it. It has fruit. Jeremiah 17:8. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. It doesn't bother them. She's not affected by it. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It doesn't matter if there's a long, dry summer, she's not affected by it because she gets her nourishment from the roots. Like I said, a lot of people, they don't have any root. It's just temporary. It's just an emotional thing. And when something bad happens, they fall apart. We all deal with these things. I remember I saw a lady one time years ago. I believe her husband was a believer. I hope she was, but some of the things she said I was concerned about. When her husband passed away, here's something she said. She said, "That's not fair. Whatever God does is right. You want to see fruit? When God took everything Job had, he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's fruit. That's fruit. That's fruit. Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And he's going to pull it up by its so-called roots. God must tend his vineyard. He must keep it. He must pull the weeds. He must guard his garden. A vine planted in the wilderness is exposed to many enemies. One of the enemies is spoken of in Scripture is called a wild boar. It's a wild hog. It roams wild in the woods and in the wilderness. And it's there in Psalms chapter 80, verse 13. "The boar out of the woods doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field to devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine." It's his vine. And all the animal, the wild boar, all he wants to do is to destroy the vine. What is this set forth? The wild boar would dig it up and devour its roots. That's what wild boars do. They're just a wild hog. All a hog wants to do is root in something. And they'll root it. They want to destroy it at the roots. They're not interested in taking care of the garden. They're interested in destroying it. What is this a picture of? It's a picture of our unbelief. If it was not by God's grace, your unbelief would root out everything. Root out everything. You know why you believe? You have the root of the matter. Your old man, he's no good. He's not improving. He's still the old man. And he can do nothing, but he can't believe. He's going to irritate you. He's going to aggravate you. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Many times we doubt. We doubt our interest in Christ. Like Thomas when he said, "I won't believe him till I see him." All the other disciples said, "He's lying." He said, "I don't believe it." A lot of times we don't believe unless we can see something. We're like Peter when he's walking on the water. When we take our eyes off of the Lord, you know why he began to sink? Unbelief. You know, how did he walk on the water? Because the Lord said, "Come unto me." He's standing on God's word. He's walking upon God's word. And he trusted him. He got out and he walked. But then when he was afraid, he began to sink. That's us. So we have the wild boar of unbelief and doubts. And then there's other things that would attack the vineyard. Small insects. Unseen pests. Worms that work quietly. They can destroy a vine as much as a wild boar can destroy the vine. Now, we can detect the wild boar, but those things, those little insects, some of them are so small you can't even see. Sandy had a bush last year there in the front of the porch, and it got in and got some insects into it, and it was killing that side of the tree. You said you couldn't even see it. That's the way they work. We have the aphids of our indifference. We have the canker worms of our pride and the caterpillars of our conceit and the grub worms of our self-sufficiency. All those want to eat at the vine. If they could, all those things inside of us would destroy us. The only reason they won't destroy it is our Lord keeps it. He watches over it. He guards it. And then, so you have the wild boar and the insects, and then you have little foxes. Here's what it says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You say, well, it's just a little fox. You know what little foxes grow up to be? Big foxes. But that's what he's saying. He said, they're just little foxes. They're conniving. They move in secrecy. How many of y'all have ever seen a fox? Probably not many. Some have, but probably not many. You may go your whole life and not see one, because usually they don't come out but at night. And that's how they slip around. That's how the foxes. The little foxes are going to spoil the vines. How did they get there? Well, they just slip in. They often nibble at the vine, and they do under their work under the secrecy of dark. They spoil the tender vine, that is, they would wound the peace and the comfort of young believers. I've seen them do it. Someone, God gives them faith to believe, and all the little foxes do, just nibble at them. You just nibble at them. And they try to compare their experience to somebody else's experience and say, well, I didn't believe the Lord like that way. Listen, God doesn't put everybody in a box. Now, God saves everybody by grace through faith, but everybody's experience is not the same. It's not. But you see, those are just the little foxes that just eat it, and they begin to question. They are the tender grapes, the little foxes. False doctrine is a subtle, sneaky little fox. You want to know another one? Gossip is a sneaky little fox. A contentious, critical spirit is a sneaky little fox. What are they trying to do? They're trying to destroy the vine. I've saw them do it. What's their objective? That's their objective. They're not interested in taking care of the vine. They're interested in destroying the vine. So, well, I don't like that. I don't like what's going on. I don't approve of that. And so we're going to cause divisions. But then our God, he must keep the garden. He must water his garden, his vineyard. There in Psalms chapter 27, verse 3, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it, and I will keep it night and day. Some of y'all have been here a long time. Some of you have been through a lot of things and seen a lot of things and seen a lot of issues that men would bring up over the years. But God still keeps his vineyard. You know why? He says, I, the Lord, do keep it. And I water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. I'm glad this morning that God keeps you. And it's not up to you to keep yourself. We're kept by the power of God through faith. He keeps us. He waters his garden with the ministry of his word. He sends preachers to preach his water, his garden. He said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase. Paul planted the seed. Here come Apollos, and he watered it. And then there was life, and God gives the increase. That's how God works. His doctrine, here's how he waters his garden. I think Jeff likes this verse, Deuteronomy 32:2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, just like the dew. Well, how does it come? It comes so mysterious. We went out the other morning, and it was such a heavy dew on the windshield. And it hadn't rained. It was such a dew. But can you imagine what that plant thought when it just got that little dew, that mysterious dew? That's how God waters you. Not just some real hard rain. We came down the driveway, and I don't know when it rained so hard. It might have been last night. It washed our driveway. I'm not talking about a hard rain that could wash everything away. It's just a simple, small rain. It's just so relaxing to sit and just listen to a rain. There's just something refreshing about it, and that's how God waters His church. Just softly, as He speaks to your heart. And it's exactly what you need. And Linda just went, that's how it is. It's refreshing. Refreshing. His doctrine drops as the dew. They take root downward and bear fruit upward. One thing about God's vineyard, we know He plants it, He waters it, He keeps the wild animals and the insects and everything from destroying His vineyard. And His vineyard, in time, will bear fruit. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Anything that's alive grows. Anything that has the fruit of the matter of God in Christ in that person, it will grow. Listen in Isaiah chapter 27, as we've already read verse 3, but in verse 6 of Isaiah 27, He, the one that watches over the vine, He that keeps the vine, He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the earth with fruit. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? That was those that were coming of Jacob, that trickster. You sons of Jacob, they took root. And 3,000 souls were saved. And they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the gospel, establishing churches. And as I've already shared with you there in Mexico, you know what it did? They was alive. And it began to spread. This place, now there's so many things. To see some of those people that live in Mexico, it's like they lived there hundreds of years ago. They have just a small house they live in. And then what they use, most of them they don't even have a bedroom. They hang up a hammock. They take it down during the day and they hang it up at night so they can have somewhere to sleep. And most of those people that live on these plantations, they raised henequa plants and they made ropes. And on every one of those plantations, you know what there was? A Catholic church. Every plantation. And God went in there in that midst of darkness and saved His people. We went that one day down to Merida, which is a pretty good sized town. About 1 million people, and they have this big Catholic church there, and people are laying outside the front door as you walk in. They're beggars asking for money or something. And when we walk in, and you see all this gold and all this stuff. And it was so disturbing, I'll never forget it. Cody Groover couldn't stay in there. He started just weeping and just left out. Them people was in darkness. That could have been us. If we had been conquered by the Spaniards, we would have been Catholics here in America, predominantly Catholics. But God saved those people. And He has them like that all over the world. I was encouraged. I talked to Greg Elmquist last night. He knows a group who actually listens to him online from India. That's amazing. That's his church. Israel will take root. Israel will blossom and bud, and will fill the face of the world with fruit. We judge things by what we can see. We're like Elijah, Lord. We're the only ones left. It's just a few there at Millsite Baptist Church and other little places like Crow or other places. God says, hold on now. I've got 7,000 that I've reserved to myself that have not bowed to the image of Baal. I know where they're at. They're a very small remnant, but they're my remnant. And they're going to fill the face of the earth with what? Fruit. You know what the church is? She's the light of the world. She's the salt of the earth. And the only fruit in this world is God's grace. That's the only fruit. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Here's what our Lord said in John chapter 15. I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that pretends to be in me beareth not fruit. And every branch that beareth fruit, he's going to purge it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. It's because of our union with Christ. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he's withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. You imagine if he had a vineyard and it was all grown over. You imagine if it was his vineyard and it produced no fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. What did David say? He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I could see him as the shepherd leads his sheep down through town, and they going, man, look at them sheep. You know why them sheep look so good? Because the shepherd takes care of them. You know why that vineyard looks so good? The husbandman takes care of it. He plants it, he waters it, he fertilizes it, he cares for it. It's his, and it glorifies his name. Jeremiah 12:12, thou hast planted them, and they have taken root, and they grow, and they bring forth fruit. Here it is in Psalms chapter 80, verse 8. Listen. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. You know, that's talking about Israel. He cast out the heathen, and he planted Israel where? In the land of Canaan. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent forth her boughs into the sea, and her branches unto the river. Like when Israel, she's a picture of God's church, how she grows in this world. The wicked desireth the net of the evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. I can say this. What God declares is fruit, and what God gives is fruit, the flesh cannot produce that fruit. It's an impossibility. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit, not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can't make yourself love somebody. I know Paul's in love with his wife, but you can't explain that. He loves us, and we love him. We don't love him as much as we should or would like to, but I can't explain it. We do. But where the love of God is at, there's the root of the matter. Listen, don't you listen to this. How does the fruit come? The fruit of the vine must be squeezed to give out its juices. So the child of God gives out their graces as they are squeezed and pressed by the hand of God's providence. As I've already mentioned, Job, you know what those things did? It just squeezed him. What do they do with the grapes? They pull the grapes and they take them in and they crush them to get the juice. Because they're squeezed. The Lord's people that are united to Him bear fruit. And they bear fruit from the time He regenerates them to the time they leave this world. They never stop bearing fruit. Listen, turn with me to Psalms chapter 92. Verse 12. The righteous, now notice how many times he uses the word flourish or flourishing. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So he describes him like a palm tree and a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Flourishing. Here is not only mentioned of growing, that they grow, but they flourish. Three times it's mentioned, and he makes reference to a palm tree and a cedar. Flourish means to spread, to extend wings, to spring up. That reminds me of the eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But you know, he compares them to those, to the unrighteous. That they seem to flourish in the world. They're like grass. You know what you do with grass? It grows and you cut it down. It grows and you cut it down and it dies. You know what you make out of grass? Cow food. We're not described as grass. All flesh is grass. That's all it is. It's just grass. It looks pretty, doesn't it, when you fertilize it and water it? Oh, it's real pretty grass, but that's all that it is. It's just grass. But he didn't describe us as grass. He described us as a palm tree. And he described us as a cedar. And you know, as I was looking, I didn't realize, you know, you think about a palm tree, most palm trees you just think you get coconuts off of. But they also have palm trees that grow dates. You only see something pretty. Look that up on the internet. They said some of these trees grow the best dates when they're between 30 and 100 years old. And you imagine how tall these trees are and all these clusters of dates. And God described, he said, she's like that palm tree. That tree probably lives where most other trees can't live. Now, they live in the desert and in the sand where there's not many things live. He said, you're like that palm tree. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But he says here that his believers, children of God, will flourish even into old age. Nature decays, but grace thrives. As we get older, our bodies give way. Our bodies ache. We can't hear as good. And he tells me I need to have my ears checked. You can't see as good. All these things. But nature decays, but grace thrives. Our natural eyes grow dim, but faith sees more clearly. Natural ears become dull. We become dull of hearing, but faith hears his voice. The outward man perishes, but the inward man, that which is from the root, is renewed day by day. I think about Caleb. He was 80 years old when they finally got to go into Canaan. 80 years. Think of the things this man had saw and experienced. He said, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. Now, he's not. There's no way he can be as strong physically as he was when he was 40, but spiritually he was. He's stronger, actually, because he's been through more things. God has pruned that vineyard. That vineyard has grown strong. And can you imagine how much encouragement Caleb was to the others? Which piece of ground does he want to take? He don't want to take this easy piece down here. You see that mountain up there? That mountain up there, Horeb? The mountain of God. He said, I'm going to take that one. And well, there's giants up there. I don't care. And what he did? He went and took it. You know what that is? That's fruit. That's life. He had not give up on it for 40 years. One day he said, Moses promised me that land, and I'm going to take it. And another one I thought about, someone in old age, was Jacob. You imagine all the things that Jacob had went through. Jacob being a vine, how he watered him, how he pruned him. And when Jacob's getting ready to bless the two sons of Joseph in Genesis 48. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And because he can't see them. And Joseph said to his father, these are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me that I may bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so they could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. And so Jacob's going to bless these two sons. You put the right hand, the place of blessing, on the firstborn, and the left hand on the other child. And Jacob does this. He's going to bless the younger. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and to Manasseh's. And Joseph said to his father, not so, father. For this is the firstborn, put thy right hand on his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I may not conceive with these natural eyes, but I know what I'm doing. How did he see that? God gave him the ability to see it. I know it, my son. I know he shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Whichever the right hand blessed, that man would be fruitful. And he can't see, but he did see. Oh, the things that you see that men don't see. Spurgeon said, fruit, as far as nature is concerned, belongs to days of vigor. But in the garden of grace, when plants are weak in themselves, they become strong in the Lord and abound in fruit acceptable with God. As I've already mentioned, the palm tree produces even to old age. Someone said the best dates are produced when the tree is from 30 to 100 years old, and they can hold up to 300 pounds of dates. That's amazing. How did they grow that fruit? They was life. Children of God grow happier and more useful as they become older. Knowing our own faults more, we are more mellow to others. He is like the sun setting, beautiful, mild, and large, like it was there in the children of Israel. When they came to Elam, they were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. Even in their old age, Carol, they don't stop bearing fruit. To me, that's amazing. If there is, they'll be right there. Because he will never leave them. He won't forsake you. He won't forsake you. And they take root downward. And by God's grace, they will bear fruit upward. I pray that's been a blessing to you. Amen.